All right, episode 59, we're back. So, Rob, I recorded a podcast with Kyler a little bit ago about how to cook the perfect pizza, right?
Right.
And his backstory on his love of cooking and his love of pizzas and all that good stuff, right? So I thought it could be fun to do another one of these things that is kind of outside of the advertising spectrum and sort of the hobbies and things that we love to do outside of advertising, right? And thought we had the last one, how to cook the perfect pizza. Let's do how to catch a fish, because I know you love fishing.
How to catch a fish.
Yeah, how to catch. And there's no easy answer to this.
Let me count the ways.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's the old joke. There's a reason why it's called fishing and not catching, right? We'll get that out right from the beginning.
Sure.
But I know that one of your hobbies outside of work is fishing.
Love it.
Right? I love fishing. I don't love the getting up early. You love to get up early and get out there. Right. I mean, pre-sun.
You know? You got to get out there early.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise.
That's part of the jam.
Yeah. That's part of the jam.
Absolutely.
And I would argue that it does have to do with advertising, because you are advertising your lure to the fish to see whether or not they will bite the lure.
Yeah. Well played.
Presentation is important. Creativity is important.
Yeah. You got to do the dance.
All of those things. You got to know where your audience is. You got to know how to reach them.
Okay.
And you got to know how to land them.
Hey, man, well said. I hadn't even considered that, but very, very well said. That's really fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, fishing is really a metaphor for everything.
So I guess, well, says the fisherman, of course.
Right.
I guess, so how do we even broach this gigantic subject? Do we narrow it down by, you know, lakes, oceans, streams? Do we go by fish itself? Do we go by, how do you want to do this?
I'll start with an anecdote.
Okay.
My favorite fish to chase after are largemouth bass.
Okay.
Okay, that's a very southern thing to do, right? Although all the way to Texas, actually. It does go to Texas and down into Mexico even.
Okay, that's where that's where bass are?
Yeah. Okay. So I remember growing up as a kid, me and my best buddy, Jason, I won't say his last name for privacy purposes.
Oh, boy. Does Jason listen to this podcast?
I don't know.
Does he know that we have a podcast?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, he and I met in fifth grade, and actually, I guess it was sixth grade. But anyway, he was into fishing at the time, and so I kind of picked it up, and we just started learning to fish together, and still do to this day, in fact. And I remember,
nice.
Once we got way into bass fishing. At the time, there was no Bass Pro Shops. Like it didn't exist.
Okay.
And then as we got a little bit older into high school, there was this mythical place up in Missouri by Lake of the Ozarks called Bass Pro Shops.
Wow.
And it was like the Mecca.
I mean, how did you find out about it back then?
Oh, because you would get the catalog
in the mail. Okay, the catalog came in the mail. Okay,
so you get the catalog in the mail. And the catalog, we would call it the Bible.
Yeah.
And the catalog was, I mean...
An inch thick?
1,000 pages? Okay. I don't know. I mean, just this huge.
Yes.
And so we would just pour over this thing and you would just circle everything that you wanted.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you'd order your stuff. And
there's this magical
Mecca.
2 weeks
later, the box shows up.
Oh, here's all my lures.
And so one summer, my family, when I was in high school, I don't remember what year, I was either a sophomore or a junior probably. And my family, we would do a family reunion every year. And this year, we're going to Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, this is
the... And I was like...
The worlds are coming together.
Whoa, wait a minute. So I...
Dad, I've got something to ask you.
Yeah. Dad, how do you feel about a field trip?
Yeah.
And so, sure enough, we go to Lake of the Ozarks, and I talked my dad into driving the hour from where we were...
Wow.
Okay. ...to the Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah, it's a two-hour deal there, out
so
of the way.
So that I could see Ethel.
Okay.
The largest largemouth bass in captivity.
Oh, whoa, like in a tank. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool.
I mean, if you've been to Bass Pro Shops, which most people have at this point, I imagine, they've got the giant tank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Ethel was the largest largemouth bass in captivity, and I saw Ethel.
Now, how big is Ethel? Do we remember?
I think
Doesn't
Ethel
even matter.
Was probably 18 pounds.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big fish.
That's like a rock cod. Okay.
Yeah, it was a big fish.
All right.
Anyway, now Bass Pro Shops are everywhere, but that was just a fun little... And I remember Jason was like...
So jealous.
Oh, so jealous.
Okay, did you take pictures of Ethel? Do you remember? On one of those little Kodak...
I don't know. I don't know that I did. I don't know
click,
that I did. I think I just wanted that memory from me.
Fun. Okay. All right, largemouth, smallmouth, correct me?
Largemouth.
Largemouth bass.
Largemouth.
Okay.
And yeah, the love continues. I went 2 weekends ago, in fact.
Okay.
And yeah, you got to get up.
Now, was early. You were going for bass, though?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what we're primarily going for now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So talk us through the, like, hey, the morning or the night before and then the morning of.
It starts about 3 days before.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And 3 days before.
This is like Kyler making a pizza. You got to like grind things.
Same friend of mine, Jason. We look at all the fishing reports.
Okay.
We were going up to Lake Lanier, which is about an hour north of the city.
Okay.
For those who don't know. Huge lake.
Yeah.
And so, we start pouring over the fishing reports.
Okay.
And we're sending each other info back and forth.
Now, is this online fishing reports? What in the world? Okay.
Yeah, the internet's an amazing. Pretty much find anything you want.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So it's all the fish, and it's all the fishing reports from all the different guide services.
Ah.
So all the guide services on Lanier put out their reports.
Okay, it's making sense.
Every week.
Okay.
So it's, we start pouring through those.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's, okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Is that based on like water temperature and fish availability?
It's based on everything. Seasonal patterns.
Okay.
Water temperature.
Okay.
Water clarity.
Is it where people are getting nibbles and bites or it's not to that level?
It's the pattern. It's more just the patterns. I mean, on a lake like that that's so big, it's more just about patterns. So for example, right now we're kind of in the, maybe at the tail end of the spawn.
Okay.
Right? And the spawn is when obviously the bass go up into the shallows. And they make these, they use their tails and make beds. Right?
Okay.
They sort of fan out and make these beds. You can see them when you walk around the lake. And that's where they hatch their, then so they stay there.
Okay. Protect the eggs. Okay.
Well, if you can catch a pre-spawn female bass, that's the big one.
Ooh.
Because it's full of eggs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That haven't hatched yet.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the longer. And then they get super protective, obviously,
when they're on their
beds once they've spawned.
Okay.
And so then you throw in like a lizard or whatever, because the lizards will come in and eat the, and you drag a little lizard across the bed.
Interesting. Okay. And they're super protective. They're like, get out of here, lizard.
They're like, get out of here.
All right. So 3 days beforehand.
3 days before we start relaying information back and forth.
Okay. Then 2 days.
2 days we're doing more of that. You've probably on day one read some things that have driven you directly to Amazon.
Okay.
So that you've overnighted, I need a red and black Senko worm.
Of course.
And I got a Texas rig, or Carolina rig, depending on what's going on.
Love it.
So there's been some last minute ordering that happens. And then the morning of Saturday morning, so Jason's got a bass boat. He's got a nice bass boat.
Okay.
Totally decked out.
Yeah.
And so we meet up, we drive up. This is kind of a funny anecdote too. So without getting into I'm trying to think how best to tell the story. Anyway, I show up at his house at 5 a.m.
Okay.
5:15 in the morning.
Wow, that's early. On a Saturday.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay.
Yeah, get up and go. A cup of coffee and hit the road. And then we drive up to Lanier. In this case, we thought we might chase some striped bass.
Okay.
And to do that, generally speaking, you want to use, you can do it a few different ways, but live bait is pretty effective for that.
Okay.
Understood. So we stop at the shop on the way.
Okay.
Bait shop, where in the morning at, 5:45 in the morning, there are, I don't know, 6 or 7 trucks with bass boats lined up.
All lined up.
And you pull through and you're like, I want Gizzard Chad.
Okay.
To, 24 Gizzard Chad. And they're like, okay, pull up. And you literally wait in line. It's like a drive through.
Dude, that's awesome.
Kind of thing. So we put all the...
Now, and by live bait, we're not talking worms. We're talking other little fish. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. And the gizzard chatter.
Oh, those are big.
Yeah. Okay. This is if you're chasing striped bass. Striped bass are bigger than largemouth bass.
That's like, now...
I've caught striped bass that are 27 pounds.
Oh, wow.
They're huge.
Okay.
So this is like a gizzard chat's probably 6 or 7 inches
long. Wow. Okay.
So anyway, we pull up and we get the shad in the in the boat, putting them in the live well, and we're standing there. And Jason just looks at me and he goes, oh no. And I was like, what is oh no? Oh no what? He's like, I forgot the trolling motor.
Oh.
All right. So for those who don't know, you've got the big motor on the back of the boat, but then on the front of the boat, you've got a trolling motor, which is a much smaller motor.
Yeah.
Often you use with a foot control or a remote control that just kind of, you can kind of lurk around.
Yeah. Because your main motor is off. Your trolling motor is very low RPM.
Totally silent.
And it just kind of, you kind of slowly creep
along.
You work
the bank. Yeah. Like, you can't have your gas motor on for that.
No,
it's an electric motor. Da, da, da. So you forgot the trolling motor.
Oh, brutal.
All right. At this point, we are
what are you, 45 minutes away?
Yeah, we're probably 45 minutes away. And we're like, what do we do? Like, yeah. We can't.
No.
We can't fish without the trolling motor.
Of course not. Of course not.
But by the time we go all the way back, load it up, drive all the way back up, I mean, you're an hour and a half. Like,
yeah.
Daybreak is already like.
Yeah. You're way behind.
So we're like, all right, what are we going to do? We just need to go to the lake. We're just going to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're just going to figure it out.
Ballsy. I like it.
Long story short, we called an Uber to Jason's house to pick up the trolling motor that then drove the 45 minutes us at the boat ramp.
That's actually pretty smart. I like that solve.
All credit to his wife who came up with the idea.
All right.
Because we were like, okay, well, he's like, I could ask my wife, but like, it's not going to go so well.
Yeah.
And so he kind of mentioned it to her on the phone early. They've got a young kid, so they were up super early.
Yeah.
And she's like, She's
like,
a couch is being delivered this morning, or a table it was.
Sure.
So I can't.
Sure.
You can't
leave the house. Yeah. You got to sign the delivery man, all that
stuff. She's like, why don't you just call an Uber?
Yeah.
And we were like,
ding, 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 ding.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Brilliant. Anyway, so we got the motor.
Okay.
And then we're off and fishing. Yeah, and so you just fish. You find the patterns, you do what you do, and then you just ride around. And in this case, because it's the spawn and because the water was warm enough, the fish have moved into the shallows, and so we're throwing against the bank.
Okay.
Fishing.
Okay. Now, what kind of equipment are we using for this? I mean, you've mentioned a lot of lures. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the live bait or whatever. Are we using multiple rods, different reels, different like what's the spiel here?
So I brought six rods.
Okay.
I had six. Jason probably had eight.
And is that so that because you have different baits
you don't
or
waste,
different
yeah,
lures?
Yeah, you got different lures on every one.
Okay.
And so you'll go in and, you know, and fish a spot and you may cast five times with a plastic worm.
Sure.
That doesn't work. So you pick up and throw a crankbait in there.
Yeah.
And you don't want to waste time tying.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Lures on. You got to have the arsenal.
Yeah. Ready to go.
Ready to go.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
And it's great. And I can't really get into it. We like have our own language out there.
Yeah.
We revert back to when we were like 12 years old.
Yeah,
it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's Zen time. Yeah.
Somebody watching it would be like, these guys are idiots.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's what makes you happy. And it's what's fun, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, we're singing songs, we're doing, but anyway, it's, I love it. It's great fun, but that's a lot different than like when you striper fish. Yeah. Then you're hooking live bait and you're trolling. So you have, depending on how you're doing it. Generally speaking, mm-hmm. you slow troll and you'll have six rods out.
Sticking out the back of the boat or whatever, the sides.
And you use planer boards that separate the lines. So the lines don't get
tangled and whatnot. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And that you got to go out at like 4 a.m.
Okay.
And then just all hell can break loose.
Now, when you're fishing for bass though, so you mentioned plastic worm, you throw it out, you do a little dance like we do in advertising or whatever, you know, you present it and things like that, right? Is there a methodology of that versus like spin? Like I'm trying to think of like when I've fished in the past, like you got the little metal spinners, you know what I mean? You cast it out and you slowly reel it back in versus the the bobbing technique of like, oh, I'm sitting on my dock and I just throw it out and the bait is just kind of dangling there waiting for fish to come. You know what I mean? I mean, what's the bass methodology?
There are a million different methods, but every lure you fish differently for the most part.
Yeah.
Interesting. So kind of a go-to is the Zoom, it's a black Zoom worm. Zoom is a company, actually, I think they're in Bogart, Georgia.
Okay.
It started here and they've blown up. I mean, they're like the king of the plastic lures. And funny enough, when I was in high school, I got tapped to test their lures.
Really?
So I would get...
Fascinating.
I met a guy, I was fishing the Chastain Park Golf Course Lake.
What?
Which
you can fish there?
Catch, well, you're not supposed to.
Okay.
We used to catch huge fish in that pond.
Okay.
Huge. It's a pond.
Yeah.
But I met a guy there randomly fishing one day.
Yeah.
Who was testing lures for Zoom. And he's like, do you want to get on the list and start testing? And I was like,
Yeah, totally.
So they would just send me boxes of free.
Dude, that's awesome.
Lures, which was great. But anyway, yeah, there's all different kinds of presentation.
Right? How long does a lure last?
Totally depends. So if you have a worm.
Yeah. I mean, you don't still have those black worms, those Zoom things. I mean, that's 20 years ago, right?
Oh, no. That's my go-to lure.
No. But I'm saying the ones that...
Oh, no.
Those are all long gone.
No.
Yeah.
I would say on an average day, if you've got a worm tied on all day, you'll probably go through, I don't know, five or six.
Okay.
So it just depends.
And they're not expensive, are they? Are they expensive?
Oh, you buy a bag of them for $6.
Yeah, there you go.
Something like that.
Okay.
But it depends.
Yeah.
If you're getting ravaged, attacked all day, then, you know, the bass can bite it in half. You know, I mean, it just kind of depends on what's going on.
Now,
but that's a different presentation. That, you're kind of bouncing it.
Yeah. You're trying to make it dance like a worm. Yeah.
Like a worm, right?
Okay.
Versus, let's say, a buzzbait, which is a topwater, obnoxiously awesome topwater lure that you throw out, and its whole purpose isn't even to look like something delicious, it's just to piss fish off.
Really?
Because it makes such a commotion on the top of the water, and it drives them insane.
Really?
But then you get a topwater shrike.
That they come up and come up and bite it because they're so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
What an interesting way to fish, I guess.
There's a lot of lures like that that are just meant to just disrupt.
Okay, interesting.
And it's not, oh, look, I'm a worm. I'm a juicy.
Yeah.
Juicy treat.
It's interesting. That does kind of tie into advertising, actually. It's just a distraction. it's just an interruption of your day. Yeah. Interesting.
But that's the most fun. I mean, topwater strikes are the most fun.
Okay.
Because it's just, and then all of a sudden just
bam, out of nowhere.
Yeah. On the top. And you can see the whole thing.
Yeah, air jaws is coming up from underneath.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Incredible. Fly fishing. Well, that makes me think of fly fishing. Mm. You know, fly fishing?
Yeah, I don't do as much fly fishing. I have all the equipment, and I go when I can, but I probably only go, I don't know, three.
I feel like that's more of a West Coast thing, is it not? Fly fishing, or
it's more of kind of a mountains thing.
Yeah,
like
rivers and streams and things. Okay.
I mean the hooch. A lot of people fly fish the hooch.
Can you fly fish on a lake? I mean, I guess you could. You can fly fish anywhere. Yeah. Okay.
We used to fly fish for bass. Because you use trout are normally what people fly fish for, but largemouth, they make bass bugs, and it's a much heavier rod and a heavier line.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, same idea, but you just do it on lakes.
My grandfather was a fly fisherman.
Yeah.
And we used to, when we went fishing, we'd go fishing up in Oregon for a couple of weeks. We'd camp, my dad, my grandfather, and I. And my dad and I never fly. I mean, I was a little kid, so it wasn't like I was this master of fly, but my grandpa was a great fly fisherman, and he would rake in the trout, but like stream trout, like, you know, what do you call it? Like river trout. I mean, we're talking like
brook trout, 12
inches,
trout, rainbow trout.
Yeah. I mean, no one's catching like, you know, 26 inch monsters. But there are some lake trout that are like gigantic, you know, but this is more just your Pacific Northwest.
But even when you go out, like, you know, up in North Carolina, Highlands is great. There's a lot of fly fishing up in Highlands.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even if you catch it, a little 5-inch rainbow
trout,
those are fun. It's super fun.
That's
a whole different, the fly fishing is a whole different ball game, because the people that get way into that, I mean, now you're tying all your own flies.
Yeah.
And there's a whole craft to that.
For sure.
Just to making your own lures.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is awesome, because if you know,
the craftsmanship
alone
is
super
cool.
It's one thing to buy a lure and catch fish on. It's a whole different ball game to make a lure and then catch it, you know, when we're going primal.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember one time, speaking of like catching it with your own, like funny, weird little anecdote about my grandfather. We should drive from San Francisco all the way up to Oregon. So it's like 12, 13 hours, something like that. This corner, you know. Yeah, we'd stop like halfway and, you know, at a hotel and whatnot, like shout out Best Western, probably. Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, we're kicking it in the old Mock Flowers delivery van, okay? No air conditioning, you know. I mean, you know, just me and him. There's only two seats. So the whole back of the van was just open and whatnot, right? And it had the old vans, for those of you that remember, have the little triangle windows that you would pop out and invert. You know what I mean? To get the air coming in. So it's like those little triangular windows.
Corner window.
Yeah, the corner window.
Just twists.
Yeah, in front of the main window that you roll down. You crank it with your hand, right? So we're driving along on the freeway, whatever, like that. Out of nowhere, like slap, this crazy bam, you know, immigrants, like yells. This bee was just floating around outside, sucked into the car, slapped him right on the cheek and stung him.
Oh,
right?
No.
So we're driving. Yeah, his whole cheek swells up, whatever like that. And he's like, Donald, you find that bee in this van. You know, I mean, we're like driving like 60, 70 miles an hour. I'm unbuckled, you know, trying to find this bee inside, you know, and the bee stung him, died or whatever. And he kept the bee. And he was like, I'm going to catch a fish with this bee, was his whole thing. Now, Did he catch a
fish?
I have no idea, but he told me he did.
For purposes of this story.
Yeah, for purposes of the story, the biggest fish that he caught that trip
mounted in his living room
was with that one bee. And man, he had that swollen cheek for, I want to say, a couple days. I mean, it was legit, you know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty funny. That's a funny, weird little, like, you know, kick, you know, catching a fish with an animal that attacked you.
That's great.
Going primal, to your point. So.
So like all the bass fishing we do, and trout fishing, generally speaking, we throw, it's all catch and release.
Yeah, that was going to be my last question. Yeah.
Throw them back. Yeah. Just kind of there for the
sport. Can you eat bass? I mean, sure. I guess you can, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's a light fish.
We're not talking Chilean sea bass, because that's actually the Patagonia toothfish or whatever? I mean, that's an exercise in rebranding right there. Here, talking about advertising.
Right.
You know, nobody wants to eat a Patagonia toothfish.
You can absolutely eat largemouth bass. We just kind of do it for the sport of it. But I will say, speaking of primal, there's not like, if you've been deep sea fishing, there is nothing better than going out.
Well, let me temper that. I don't think I've gone deep. I've gone reef fishing, you throw it down, you throw the conch bomb down there with a conch stuffed full of shrimp. Yeah. And then, I mean, I'll call it tourist vacation, you know. So, I mean, I haven't been like 50 miles off the shore going wicked tuna style.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like way deep water.
I've been offshore, like out to the Gulf Stream.
Oh, wow.
A couple of times. It's a long trip. I mean, that's serious.
Yeah.
But I will, another quick anecdote. We were in,
we could tell fishing stories. This is our podcast. We can run as long as we want here.
Costa Rica, a few years back, and my stepson, shout out to Ian, who's now 14. So I guess he was 11 at the time. We went down to Costa Rica and I was like, hey dude, let's go out.
Yeah.
We're gonna go out fishing.
Totally.
And he's all into it. He loves fishing. So I took him out and we went out and had this day where you're inshore.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not reef fishing. You're trolling, but you're not like 60 miles out.
Okay. Got it.
You're 4 miles out, miles out.
Got it.
Anyway, we had one of those days where I don't know how many mahi we caught, but
fish were just jumping in the boat.
This
love it.
Ian's just fighting them all. Yeah. I mean, to the point where at the end of the day, the guy can't even move his arms.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's got a forearm, right?
He literally can't move his arms. Yeah. He's like, oh. Yeah. We had so much fish. We cleaned all the fish, kept everything, we had probably 5 or 6 Ziploc gallon bags just full of fillet. I mean, just
that's
full
awesome.
Of mahi.
Well, fillets. And you got to throw the fish to the captain, right? Doesn't the captain get the first fish or
gave
something?
Gave him a bag. We got back to shore and all the locals, we were handing out bags of fish to all the locals. We were like heroes.
Yeah, you can't eat that much that quickly.
But to go out in the ocean and catch fish and then come home and eat them, that's like the best, best day ever.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that in the Bahamas. I caught a couple like groupers, maybe strawberry groupers and something else, you know, and then you bring them back and then, hey, you cook them right there. And man, it is buttery and delicious.
Oh, so good.
So I will say that one of the most fun fish I've ever tried to catch is bonefish. You need to go bone fishing.
Down in the Keys.
You can do it in the Keys. I did it in the Bahamas.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's all sight fishing.
Yeah. They're little. They're not very big. They're like, you know, 12 inches, maybe 14 inches, but they say pound for pound, they put up the biggest fight, even though they're not big. I mean,
Were you fly fishing?
No. So we had a guide, of course, and we're on one of those like flat bottom sort of boats where the guy is up on the, I don't know what you call it, but the guy's up almost on like a lifeguard stand on the back of the boat with the giant,
call it a tower,
with the giant, like, what's that thing? What's the stick that you like?
The pole. Yeah,
the pole. He's got a pole, right? And he's got the polarized glasses and he's just looking, he's looking up, he's looking down, he's, you know, trying to look through the water, right? And he's telling us kind of cast over here, cast over there, and mangroves and different things, right? And so I managed to catch a couple, but I mean, those things are insane. They zip over here, zip over there. Yeah. I mean, you're reeling it in forever, right? My wife caught one and was reeling it in, get the big like bend in the rod, like boom, you know? And then now it's easy to pull in and it's, oh, you pulled up half a fish. Because a barracuda came and stuff. But that's a catch, and I guess they're called bonefish because there are so many bones you don't eat them. It's literally just a sport fishing kind of thing.
It's a sport fish. Yeah. And those are, that's hard. It's hard to do because it is. It's all stealth and it's all sight fishing.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the guy's for.
You got to sight them. Yeah, they get up on the tower and they pulling along. And a lot of people fly fish for bonefish.
I don't think we were fly fishing. I don't really recall, to be honest. I remember all the reeling and the like, oh, it's going under the boat. I mean, it constantly goes under the boat.
Yeah.
So you're running onto one side, running onto the other, you know, because you don't want to get all tangled up and stuff, you know.
Last anecdote, me and a bunch of that same buddy of mine and a couple of other guys, There's a lake down in Mexico called El Salto.
El Salto.
Yeah.
And it one is, can only assume it's a salt lake.
It is.
Saltwater lake, I should
it's
say.
Not a saltwater
lake. It's not a saltwater lake? Wow. Okay.
It's a freshwater lake down in Mexico, but it is one of, there's two lakes, but it's the one that generally speaking has the largest largemouth bass.
Okay. It's more bass.
Anywhere in the world.
Okay. Wow.
Anywhere in the world. So me and my buddies decide we're going to take a guy's trip down to.
Hell yeah, we are.
Down to Lake El Salto down in Mexico. It's a place called Angler's Inn down there. And so you fly down to Mazatlan.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
And then you drive about an hour and a half inland.
I feel like I feel like no one said Mazatlan since like 1987. That's hilarious. Well, yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Look on your face. Okay, so you fly into Mazatlan.
So you fly down there and then a van picks, you know, the Angler's Inn van picks you up and drives you to the resort.
It's probably my grandpa's old van.
And it's a very rustic resort.
We use the word resort loosely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But you go down there and back when let me tell it in reverse order. So you get down there, cook all the food, there's margaritas everywhere, frogs, giant toads. Come out and I mean huge,
like a
softball.
Okay,
softball between a softball and a soccer ball.
Okay,
everywhere.
Wow. Okay,
it's the weirdest thing. Then you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and then you have your guide for the day, and they take out two people on a boat and they guide you around, and you catch an insane amount of ginormous fish.
That sounds awesome.
It's crazy.
It sounds super fun.
Super fun.
And all catch and release still.
All catch and release. But so we're driving around this lake and it's beautiful and you're in Mexico and you're like, where am I? This is so weird. And there's all these little huts kind of on the side of the side of the lake.
Yeah.
And at one point, well, like the first day we were there, I was like, I was asking our guide, I forget his name. And I said, what are the huts? Like,
yeah.
What is that? And he just kind of shoots me this look and he's like, cocaína.
Really?
And I'm like,
what?
Oh, well.
Are we allowed to talk about this on the podcast?
Well,
and stream this on
this
the
internet? Was basically you're in the middle of El Chapo's when El Chapo was.
Whoa.
This is all his. It's all El Chapo territory.
Oh my
back
lord!
Back when he was still out.
Okay.
And loose.
Oh my word!
And these little huts were stash places. So you'd come in at the end of the day, and there would be guys with machine guns,
dude.
At the this, I mean, and yeah,
I wasn't expecting this part of the story.
No. So there would be guys. Government guys.
These
weren't like drug dealers,
but government
guys would be down at the dock.
Okay.
And these guys standing there with machine guns.
Oh my word.
Yeah. It was crazy, but we didn't ask anything.
Yeah.
There's no more questions. After that, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They're not,
we don't talk.
Oh, that's where we pit stop for bathrooms and a beer. That's not what those are for.
No.
So that's somebody else's deal.
You are deep in,
El Chapo land.
Deep in El Chapo territory.
But the fishing was great.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's cool.
Amazing.
All right.
If you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
Angler's Inn.
All right. Well, this is a good one.
I could talk for 8 hours.
Well, we can
do
another.
That would be a boring, boring podcast.
Well, not to some people, man. You never know. People. You know what I mean? People love the stuff, so. All right. Well, hey, that's another. I mean, it's a fun sort of cross blend of advertising and hobbies and what we love to do and all that good stuff. I think it's cool, man. I'm into it. So
fun stuff.
Yeah. All right. Where can the people find us, Rob?
They can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com, on the socials at mocktheagency, or you may bump into me walking around Bass Pro Shops.
There you go.
If you're lucky. You
absolutely.
I'll sign a fishing rod for you.
Hey, that works. All right. We'll see you guys.
Talk to you next time.